Good morning. I am delighted to be here. It is a joy always to be at Ambassador Baptist College. It's good to see the men and women who work here, labor, who are investing their lives in your life. I don't know if you realize what a privilege it is to have the men like you see here on the platform, or to have the Cummins or the Daltons or the Johnsons. You know, these are folk, and I'm going to miss them if I'm not careful, but these are people that have influenced my life. And I know their character and their love for the Lord and the ministry God has given them. Don't miss out on the miracle of Ambassador Baptist College. Some of you are weary. You've gotten in the middle of classes and you feel like a fellow who's about this close to drowning. He's just getting his nose above water. And if you're not careful, you'll get discouraged and you'll want to quit. But God is using this place to equip you to serve the Lord Jesus. Don't miss that. A rare book collector met an old friend of his. The old fellow said, you know, I just cleaned out some old books out of my attic, old dusty boxes, sold an old Bible in there. And the guy said, well, what kind of Bible? He said, I don't know. It had Guten something on it. And the guy said, Gutenberg? He said, yeah, that's it. He said, I got rid of that old thing. He said, are you out of your mind? One of those was just auctioned off for $500,000. And the guy said, well, this one wouldn't have been. This thing had writing all over. Some guy named Martin Luther had written all over it. You know, he didn't know the value of what he had. Be careful. You're gaining some things. Perhaps you have very close to you right now, and you're looking at it as old, dusty, outmoded, unusable junk. If you're not careful, you'll cast some value away. God has you here because God wants to use you. I don't know where you're going. I don't know what you're going to do. But God has a work for you. Turn, if you would, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just for a little while this morning. You young people down from New Jersey, glad to see you here. I appreciate you coming all that way just to hear me preach this morning. Maybe you've got a couple other things going on. But maybe God wants you right here at Ambassador Baptist College, and maybe today through the sharpening of these young people, just being around them will challenge you to make your life count for Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me go to one verse and use it as a springboard this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We all share something in common. We are God's fellow workers. We are God's field where He works. Each one of you is a field where God has been digging and turning up your soil, and God has been cultivating your life and planting seeds there because God wants to bring a harvest. And all of us, the moment we got saved, are a part of God's building. Each one of us have a part now in God's harvest field. Somebody came along and shared the gospel with you. It may have been at your parents' knee. It may have been in a service in a church. It may have been some unusual circumstance, but someone brought you the gospel. Someone shared the gospel with you, and you are now living stones in God's building. And yet, there's a responsibility for each of us. We are now to be fellow workers with the one who saved us. You now are to go out into the harvest field. You have a work to do. That's overwhelming. I can remember sitting, listening to great men preach and being in classes where men gave me such an... I was always so overwhelmed at all that they knew. And yet I was challenged by their lives, but I often wondered if there was anything that God could do in my life. I want to remind you that every one of us who know the Lord, I don't care who you are and what your background is, You are God's unique tool. And there is a work that only you can do for God. No one else will ever be able to do it. And yes, thank God for these folk who stand in front of you and help sharpen you and help whet you to be useful to God. But never forget, you have a task. You have a work. You have a life to be lived. One day you'll be old like Brother Strat and I. We trust anyway. I do have it on good authority, though, that I'm going to live forever. But I'm really very young when I look at eternity, and I'm glad for that. But beloved, I really just want to challenge you this morning that God has a place for you to be, and God has a work for you to do. Unemployment is high today. It's bumping 10%. But do you understand there is always 100% employment in the work of God? Amen. There is a place for you, and there is a task for you. Beloved, I just want to challenge you. If you knew my background, I'm going to share some of it with you this morning. If you knew my background, you'd know why I thought, well, Lord, I don't know if there's anything you can do through me. I don't know if there is a work that I can do. I don't know if I'm capable of doing anything. And yet, again, I want to go back to this passage, and I want to challenge you, because some of you are sitting here this morning and you're either ready to quit or you feel like you will never amount to anything. But you can have an influence for Christ. You can be used of God. You can rejoice one day looking back over your life and realizing that God has used you as one of His fellow workers. And what greater privilege could we enjoy in this life? Never minimize the influence of your life. Never say, I'm just me, because you are to be God's instrument. And God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick, but God can do powerful things through weak, faulty men. God wants to use you. I have no idea where I am in my notes, but I just want to challenge you with that thought. I'm about four pages beyond where I want to be, but I want to share some things with you this morning. You can go into class and gain a lot of exegetical truth, and I'm glad for that. But I want to share my heart with you this morning, and that is this: that some faithful servant of the Lord was a witness to you. And they left a mark on you. They have influenced you forever. And you, in turn, are to do likewise. They have been a worker for the Lord. They have been God's fellow laborer in your life. There are men and women sitting right here who are investing in your life. Now you go out and put that to use. You go out and make yourself useful. Let me tell you of some of the influences in my life. Some of you may have heard of Ed Kimball. Edward Kimball was just an ordinary nobody. But Edward Kimball got concerned about another nobody, and he led that young man to the Lord. That young man was named D.L. Moody. God would take Moody, and God would use him to shake two continents for Christ. D.L. Moody preached, and God blessed his preaching. It is estimated that he preached to millions and had a million come to Christ through his ministry. He preached all across America. He preached across Europe. When Moody was in Europe, his preaching influenced F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer said that after hearing Moody, his life changed. He was already saved, but God began to use him in a unique way. F.B. Meyer began to preach internationally. F.B. Meyer came to the United States of America, influenced R.G. Lee. Some of you have read his great sermon, Payday Someday. R.G. Lee was influenced by F.B. Meyer, who was influenced by D.L. Moody, who was influenced by Ed Kimball. J. Wilbur Chapman was a young 19-year-old, I think he was, a young ministerial student. He was preparing to go into the ministry, but he was not sure of his own salvation. He went to hear Moody preach. And at the invitation time, Chapman went forward. He went to the invitation room, and to his surprise, D.L. Moody himself came to this young man to deal with him. D.L. Moody handed him his Bible and told him to turn to John chapter 5 and verse 24. And he said, read it. And this young man picked up the Bible and he read, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Moody looked at Chapman. He said, are you a Christian? He said, well, I don't know. He said, well, let me ask you this. Do you believe that? He said, yes, sir. He said, are you a Christian? He said, I don't know. He said, read it again. Three times Chapman read it. The third time he said it was like the light came on. And Moody asked him, he said, do you believe it? He said, yes, sir, Mr. Moody, I do. He said, are you a Christian? He said, Mr. Moody, I certainly am. And Chapman credited that time with D.L. Moody with the assurance of his salvation. He said, I never doubted it ever again. God began to use Chapman. Chapman began to preach, and God blessed him in an amazing way as a pastor. Then God expanded his coasts into evangelism. By the way, Chapman gave us one day when heaven was filled with his praises. Jesus, what a friend of sinners. Chapman he was multi-talented. But when Chapman began to preach, the meeting started growing so great he didn't know how to handle it all. So he sought for a young man who might go before him into some of these cities and do some preparatory work. A friend of his said, you need to get that young convert, Billy Sunday. So Billy Sunday, who had been saved out of baseball, who was known across America, Billy Sunday began to work for J. Wilbur Chapman. D.L. Moody influenced J. Wilbur Chapman, who influenced Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday didn't even have any messages to preach when later he got into evangelism, so he began to preach some of Chapman's messages because Moody said that Chapman was America's greatest evangelist. Isn't that amazing? All these things tying together. Sunday began to preach and had over 300,000 converts. One of Billy Sunday's campaigns took him to Charlotte, North Carolina. And God so worked over a period of about 6 weeks that a group of men, Christian businessmen in Charlotte, said, we want to start having preachers in on a regular basis and do this. In 1934, Mordecai Ham came to Charlotte, North Carolina and preached 8 weeks. And God began to work. Billy Graham credits his salvation to that meeting. A number of men known in Christian circles today were saved that time. Let me tell you, though, what was important to me. A mother came with a little girl. That little girl and her mother trusted Christ. That little girl was Virginia Holtzclaw. She later would become my mother. She found Christ. And God changed her life. Now, would you go back with me? There was an unknown man by the name of Ed Kimball who in the 1800s led a young boy to Christ by the name of D.L. Moody. 1 million people were saved through his ministry. F.B. Meyer, J. Wilbur Chapman. Chapman had over 300,000. Billy Sunday had over 300,000 converts. Mordecai Ham had over 7,000 people going to the Lord's work as a result of his ministry. 330,000 people saved under Mordecai Ham's ministry. My mother came to know the Lord Jesus because Edward Kimball was faithful. You have no idea of the influence of your life and how far-reaching that influence will be. One day, when I'm in heaven, I want to see Him. I just want to walk up to Him and say, thank you. Thank you. How many people have there been in a chain of events that God has used to bring you to the Lord Jesus, that you might be sitting in Ambassador Baptist College being challenged to make your life count for Christ? Hey, let me tell you the rest of the story. Virginia Holtzclaw met a young man by the name of M.R. Callahan. They married during World War II. My father and mother, they came back to Charlotte and set up housekeeping after the war. And 5 Callahan Munchkins were born. One girl was the oldest, and 4 terrible young brothers she had to put up with. My dad was a wonderful father when he wasn't drinking. My dad was introduced to alcohol by the U.S. Army. And Dad was either pleasantly drinking, happy as a lark, you could get anything off Dad when he was in that happy mood, or else he was in a befuddled mood. And I've seen where his friends, after having gotten all of his money, drank it up, you know, they'd just dump him out and they'd go on their way. And I've seen him ugly and mean. I've seen him beat my sister in particular in a brutal way, in a drunken stupor. The home was kind of rough a lot of times. But, God was at work through it all. In 1992, I preached my mother's funeral. She died of cancer. She's with the Lord today. In 1994, I preached her mother's funeral. My grandmother was 100. She went to be with the Lord. 3 or 4 weeks after I preached my grandmother's funeral, my uncle sent me the autobiography of my great, 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 great grandfather. I didn't know it existed. I didn't know him. I'm not that old. He was born before me. Some grandfathers generally are. But in that, he told of how they lived on the border of Union County and Mecklenburg County. Mecklenburg County is Charlotte. The Union County is in the South Carolina side. Carowinds is right down in there. You know the area, some of you. This was back in the 1800s, the mid-1800s. My grandfather, my forebear, had a contract to cut railroad ties. And so he and his father would go out every morning. They'd work 6 days a week. And he asked his dad one day, could he get off early and go see a young girl? So his dad let him off at 2 o'clock on Saturday. He rode his horse home, washed up a little bit, drove over to his girlfriend's house, but she wasn't there. But he met her sister. He met her sister and he married her. God gave them children. As a young man, the Great War occurred, the Civil War, and he was called off the war. He found himself in a hospital in Wilmington, North Carolina. He had had an injury, not directly related to battle, but he found himself in a hospital. Now, to go into a hospital, a war hospital, was almost certain death. And there, my forebear said, Lord, if you will spare my life, I'll live for you. And God spared his life. He went on for another page or two telling of the children that he had and closed out that autobiography. But there was another page, and when I got to that page, it said, my spiritual autobiography. And he said, having told you of my physical history, I now feel it my bounden duty to share with you my spiritual history. And he went back to the Wilmington Hospital event. And he said, what I want you to understand is, I trusted Christ as my Savior. He said, when I was growing up, in our home every day, my dad and mom got down the Bible and the old Methodist hymnal. And evidently, they had a service in their home every day. He said it used to scare him because sometimes they would shout They would sing, and he said, I didn't know what it was all about. But he said, when I came to know the Lord Jesus, I realized the joy that my parents had in Christ. He said, I challenge all of my children who will come to have a family altar and save their children from a devil's hell. That was my great, 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 great grandfather who was telling of his father who had family devotions to lead his children to Christ. And he prayed for me. I've been in the ministry at this time. When I'm reading this, I've been in the ministry for 20 years. And I realize I'm not in the ministry because of choices necessarily that I've made, but because somebody years ago, generations ago, they were praying for me. You have no idea why you are here today. Only heaven will reveal the influences that have brought you to this place in your life. Don't treat it lightly. You are God's fellow workers, and God has brought you to this place today so that you can sharpen yourself, so that you can go out and influence others for Jesus Christ. Don't think of yourself as a nobody. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and He takes nobodies and makes them servants and equips them to do the work that He calls them to do. Beloved, don't miss what God has called you to do. You will not know in this lifetime how much of an influence you are. All you can do is go out and be faithful. All you can do is go out and get to work. Do what you can for those that God brings across your path. But the chain doesn't end there. You know, I mentioned my mother Mary. By the way, my dad was from Spindale, not far from here. But here, all of us are unsaved. My mother, who had gotten saved as a little girl, had never been in a church where she had gotten grounded and steady in the Scriptures. But she knew this. She knew that her children need to be in church. And my mother, trying to keep a family together, kept us in church. A church in Greenville, South Carolina, where we lived, sent the three older Callahan brood to a camp in Savannah, Georgia. I remember a preacher preaching a simple gospel message, and my sister, who was 5 years older than me, I was 9 at the time, she was 14, she walked forward and she trusted Christ. Well, the preacher, he asked these young people who had come forward, he said, would any of you like to tell what God has done for you? And there, my 14-year-old sister, who is not shy at all, she stood up, she said, my name's Linda Callahan. And I just trusted Christ, and God wants me to be a missionary. And I'll never forget the look on that guy's face. I'll never forget the shock on my face. But I could envision him patting this poor, demented little girl on her shoulder and saying, well, that's sweet, honey. Get on away. And yet God did something in my sister's heart. You see, my brother and I came back the same sinners we went to Savannah as. My sister came home changed. Changed by the power of Christ. That day began a single-hearted dedication in her life that continues to this day. But God began to work. My sister started praying for her four younger demonic brothers. She started praying for the salvation of our family. She started praying for my dad. I remember my dad beating her on the bottom of they were black and blue. You know why? She was living for Christ. You don't think that influences a young boy? Her faithfulness challenged me, and I was lost. Well, I got to hurry up, or I could keep you here quite a few days. But you know what? She went to school that fall. She started carrying her Bible. We were in a church. Like I say, nobody in the family knew anything about what churches believed, but my sister met a group of girls sitting at a cafeteria table in a public high school who had their Bibles out. My sister carried her Bible. She knew she was going to be a testimony. She sat down with these girls, and those girls began to ground my sister in truth. And pretty soon she was going to their church, Tabernacle Baptist Church, where Dr. Harold Seitler pastored for many years. And she ate every meal that he fed, and he
He was a marvelous preacher of the book. God began to challenge her. And I remember, again, I'm 5 years younger. I remember the June my sister graduated. Somebody gave her $10. She bought, for $9, she bought a ticket to Chattanooga, Tennessee. She had $1 in her hand and one bag of clothes under her arm, and she was going off to prepare to go to the mission field. And God began to teach her to trust the Lord. God began to challenge her life, and she learned to live by faith. God worked in remarkable ways. And all this time, here are us four boys still in Greenville. Well, a fellow came pulling out. I was standing on the front porch. Here I am, a young teenager, this time 13, 14 years old. Fellow came driving up in a 57 Chevy, rolled down his window and said, "You ready to go?" And I said, "I think you're in the wrong place. I don't know who you are." And he said, "My name's Mike Green from Southside Baptist Church." He said, "You're supposed to go to the activity with me." I said, "I think you're at the wrong house." He said, "Are you Butch Callahan?" I said, "No, I'm Richard Callahan." He made me promise the next Saturday to go to an activity at Southside Baptist Church. The next Saturday, I went. And a few weeks later, I trusted Christ. A fellow by the name of George Prinzing had been working with my brother Butch. George Prinzing worked with Brother Keene at Milford, God's precious seed, bearing precious seed. Brother Prinzing for the Lord, but he led my brother to the Lord at Burger King. I didn't know anything about it. And Brother Prinzing had sent this young man to come by and challenge me about going to church. Lo and behold, one by one, we started getting saved in our house. All because of the influence of a faithful sister. All because of the influence of a faithful worker at Burger King. All because a man, God used Mike Green to challenge my life day after day after day. He was God's sheepdog. He was always rounding me up. I'd be somewhere and he'd come after me. I'm glad for men who in my life wouldn't let me go. You're to be that kind of person now. You ever hear of Russ Turner? Russ Turner was my Sunday school teacher. Big mountain of a man. He'd been a member of a motorcycle gang and was rough. And he got hold of Oliver B. Green's tract, From Disgrace to Grace. And God saved him. Later he became my Sunday school teacher. I'd sit there and listen to Russ Turner. He was a hog farmer in Greenville. Had a 40-acre hog farm. Had 6 kids. Every Sunday, he'd come in. He'd be telling us stories. Every morning, he got up at 3:30 in the morning. He had a truck he had fixed up. He'd go from the restaurants early in the morning. He'd empty the garbage, the scraps of food into this truck, and he'd cook it. And he'd come back and deliver it to his hogs. But he did something before he went to feed the hogs. He got down beside the bed of each of his 6 children. He'd say, "Lord, send Rusty to the mission field. Lord, send Edie to the mission field. Lord, send Chloe to the mission field." He'd go all the way down to little Philip. One Sunday morning, he came in. He said, "Boys, here's this massive man." He had a 52-inch chest. This guy was a man. I saw him pick up a cow, put it on the back of a truck. I couldn't pick up a concrete block and put it on the back. Just a man. He came in and he said, "Boys, I'm quitting a Sunday school class." And I mean, it was like our world ended. He said, "I got down to pray this week, pray for my kids. I couldn't pray." And here this 40-year-old man that had not completed high school said, "God wouldn't let me pray until I first said, 'Lord, I'll go to the mission field. If I can pray for them, I've got to set an example.'" You know what Russ Turner did? He gave his 40-acre farm to the Tabernacle Orphanage. Gave everything away. Kept a truck and a washing machine and a refrigerator. And before we knew it, Russ Turner was on the mission field. You don't think that influenced a young teenage boy? By the way, Rusty Turner, that son, number one son, has been in Costa Rica now for many years. Edie is Mrs. Roy Seals. Many of you know her, and BIMI rep for Latin America. Chloe, that next daughter, married Bob Vredenberg, and they served many years in the Cayman Islands, and she is now with the Lord. Her husband pastors at Friendship Baptist over in Raleigh. God used an old hog farmer to challenge me. Boy, I felt like I was so small around him. You see what I'm trying to tell you? There are people that God brings into your life that change you forever. Now you go and be one of those. You are to influence someone else for the Lord Jesus. There is always a work for us to do. I have no idea where I am in my notes. There are so many people I wanted to share with you, but I'm probably going to forget a lot of them. When I was 16 years old, God was troubling my heart because I knew He wanted me to do something, but I didn't know what. So I pled Romans 12, 1 and 2, and I presented Him this body. And I said, Lord, I'm not much, but I'm Yours. And if You can use me, I'm available. I had no idea what God wanted me to do, but I made myself available. At 18, I trekked across town and started training at the university. Still didn't know what God wanted me to do. A man by the name of Ken Hay was in our church. He had a burden for Christian camps. And so the end of my freshman year, I had the privilege of going to the Wilds and working up there with some others who are sitting here like Brother Johnson. And we worked up there that first summer. And God challenged my life about working with young people. Then I went the next two summers and spent in the Cayman Islands with Russ Turner, working with teenagers across two islands. Wonderful, wonderful experience. Those men influenced my life. They challenged me. They sharpened me because they were faithful men. And God used them. Well, my brother has been in the pastorate now for a number of years. My dad was the last one who had not gotten saved. My dad left us. He moved back to Charlotte and lived a tragic life. My brother, while in college, went over to Charlotte just to visit Dad. He said, Dad, would you go to church with me today? He did. They walked down the aisle. They trusted Christ. And I know my dad got saved because he stopped drinking. He never drank again. My mother was a one-man woman. And had Dad not died of a sudden heart attack not very far from here, they'd have been together today. But my dad is with the Lord now because God worked in the heart of Ed Kimball many, many years ago. My sister has been in Greece as a missionary for over 40 years. That little demented girl, God was at work. My wife and I, 1977, I went as a youth pastor, Mount Calvary Baptist Church in High Point, North Carolina. And we've just finished 32 years there. God's given us three girls. Two are Christian school teachers. Third one is a nurse. All three serving the Lord. God's been good to me. But you see, God has used others to challenge my life. An unknown man, a century and a half ago, by the name of Ed Kimball, came into my life. An unknown forebear, over 160 years ago, prayed for me. And I'm in the Lord's work today because of His faithfulness. A sister determined to win her family for Christ. And I'm here today. A young man with a burden for teenagers reached this teenager. And I'm here today. An old hog farmer set such an example that I couldn't get away from it. And I'm here today. A man with a burden for teens started a Christian camp. And I'm in the ministry today. Do you realize the many people that have crossed your path to bring you to this place in time? You are God's fellow worker. Sign up. Get busy. Gain your tools here. Learn how to use them. Then get out. Because God has a field for you. God has a harvest for you. And you are to be winning others to Christ, to become God's building. Make your life count. Never minimize the influence of your life for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity just to share for a few minutes with these young people what you can do for them and what you want to do for them. Lord, you have a work for each one, a work that only they can do. I pray you would challenge them to give themselves to it. There are some sitting here who are discouraged, who are ready to quit. There are some who feel like they can do nothing. And Lord, they're defeated. When Lord, you are right now preparing them for the greatest work a man can be involved in, a woman can be involved in. Lord, would you challenge their lives? Hey, if you're here this morning and God has been dealing with you and you have never settled salvation, maybe you're like a young chaplain. God would use you if you would give him your life. Maybe this morning you need to settle salvation. But maybe this morning you say, Pastor, I know the Lord. And I came to Ambassador hoping that God would do something for me. But I'm just discouraged. I'm down. I don't know if God could even use me. But this morning, I want the Lord to know that I am His and that He can have every fiber of my being. And I want God to use me as His instrument. You'd slip your hand in there and you'd say, Pastor, this hand is my show of dedication this morning. I give Christ everything. Can I see your hands? Thank you, thank you, thank you. How many of you would say with these, I have already done this, and Pastor, it is my heart's desire to be God's fellow worker. And you'd slip your hand in the air. God bless you. Father, use these young people. Lord, take their lives and make them count. May they never let discouragement cause them to quit. Because, Lord, in this life, we do not know what influence we may be. Bless each one, empower them, encourage them. May they find in Thee everything they need, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Callahan. Let's stand together and take our...